Welcome back. We get to turn our attention to parenting again. Well, let me just say, I think parenting is harder than marriage. Some of you are saying, why would you say that? At least you chose your spouse. I mean, if you got issues with your spouse, at least you have to look partially in the mirror. I did choose this person. The kids were delivered to you. Well, you talked earlier this morning about several characteristics of God-centered or Christ-centered homes. You discussed issues of worship and a person's heart and glorifying God, issues of truth and dedication to love. And so I just want to start with a couple of really quick notes. There's hope for parents because God has revealed many truths about parenting. Have you noticed that God can rescue anyone from anywhere? One of my reminders of scripture that tells me that that's true is the man Josiah. Josiah was king of Judah. His father was Ammon, and his father was Manasseh. Both Ammon and Manasseh were considered two of the worst kings of Judah, period. And yet Josiah is a man who, the Bible says, loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, and strength. Yet he would have grown up in a very wicked home life. In fact, we're told that Manasseh filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. And I think that is a very picturesque idea because Jerusalem was a walled city. So could you imagine the walled city as a swimming pool filled with blood? I mean, I think that's the imagery. And that was his granddaddy. And his daddy was so wicked that God only let him rule like 2 years and then killed him. And so Josiah takes the throne at 8. Pretty remarkable. God can rescue anyone from anywhere. And so we're not bound by the history of our families. Instead, God can rescue anyone. And so there's hope for us. Parents should also seek to glorify God, to fulfill the mission that God has given them as parents. That's really helpful because at times we get into the mindset of thinking, well, I want my kids to turn out well. And we do. We want our kids to turn out well. But we understand that we have a mission to accomplish, and that is these words I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently. And we get this all-the-time job here. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The verse that we're going to spend this session unpacking is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You already covered earlier, parents face common struggles, having a parent-centered or child-centered home. I think it's always helpful to find out what kind of home the situation's coming from. So you got parents, they're coming because they're struggling with their children. And you know, sometimes they're like, hey, they treat their kids like a car. Can we just drop our kids off, you fix them, and then let us know when they're ready? And so here we are, we're saying to parents, we're trying to figure out, man, what kind of home is this? Is this a home where the kids run the roost? Or is this a home where parents are really all about themselves? Then we said we had a common solution. That is a God-centered home. And then we have some steps. This is where we are now. We have some steps to accomplish that. So this is our task. What is going to be the step or steps that we use to accomplish the task of fulfilling these words? Parents have common steps to accomplish the goal. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, first one. God has given this responsibility particularly to the fathers. I know that there are some commentators who will argue that between Ephesians 6:2, which says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, and verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, there are some who argue that the word parents and the word fathers is merely a stylistic change. It's really talking about both. I'm not convinced. I think instead of being a stylistic change, it's an intentional change. All too often, at least in our experience, the people who are most concerned about their children are the moms. And dad is like, hey, if you want to take them to counseling, or if you just want to take them and they can get counseling, or if you want some counseling, that's fine, but I'm not really involved and in the picture. One of our first tasks is to get dad in the room, because it is first and foremost his responsibility. So we have to remind dads, like, dude, you got two jobs. You have your day job, the job that you have that provides the resources for your family, but then you come home to your home job, where you have a task to love your wife, to lead her, to learn her, and then you have the task of parenting your children. Every once in a while, I hear a dad who says, yeah, I need to babysit the kids so my wife can go out tonight. It's like dads do not babysit their children. Amen. They parent their children. So we need to get dads in the room. Dads need to be invested. Instead of mom being the one who is really concerned about the actions of the kids, it should be dad who is leading the charge. That does not in any way, shape, or form minimize the role of a wife or mom. I mean, quite frankly, she's often spending more time with them, but it doesn't mean that she has to be the one making the investment for change. That can be him. We know that wives and mothers play an important role. In fact, in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, there's a series of my son speeches and lady wisdom poems. And the picture is this: a young man is getting ready for adulthood, and there are a series of voices in his ears. The my son speeches are done by mom and dad. The lady wisdom poems are done by lady wisdom. But there's one other voice, and that is the woman of foolishness, the voice of folly, personified by a woman. And for 9 chapters, the question you're asking is, who is he going to follow? Who's he going to trust? Who's he going to believe? Which advice is he going to take? And here we're saying, my son, your father's instructions, do not forsake your mother's teaching. An additional my son speech, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. So we're not in any way trying to minimize, but quite frankly, the average woman, mom, wife longs for her husband to be more involved with the kids. It seems to me that one of the big culture shifts is not just more women working, but more women having the responsibility to work and raise the kids. It doesn't seem to me that dad really adjusted much of his job. So if in 1950 dad thought his job is to provide and then come home and then chill, in 2025 it's still that dad goes, works, and then comes home and expects to chill. Except now he wants her to work and then he wants her to take care of everything else in the house. The average woman is burdened with the responsibility with both. And so we're saying we want dad there, not because we're minimizing mom, but because we want dad to step up and take his rightful place in the home. Now let's just take a pause here for just a moment, talk to single moms, single dads, because we're gonna counsel single parents too. And when we do, here are a few ideas to especially push them in their local churches. Somebody should be praying for them, having relationship with them. The single moms in our church, we surveyed them one time, and this was the number one thing they wanted, mentoring for their kids, because they didn't have a God-honoring marriage to look to, and so they were looking for people to show that to their children. and encouraging them, finding